Well, Richard and others, I'm going to endeavor to not tell you the story slowly, but on the other hand, I cannot encourage you to sing. It won't be very long. So we'll see, won't we? The epistle of 2 Peter. Oh, what a wonderful treasure these three chapters are. We have read the last few verses of the epistle, verses 14 through 18. If you turn to the very beginning of this book, you notice that Peter addresses those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the epistle, Peter does, with his own death. He talks about the trustworthiness of the prophetic word of God, how it was that those of ancient times had spoken as they were moved along by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The bulk of the book, then, especially in the second chapter, is taken up with warnings of destructive teachings and doctrines that were current in Peter's lifetime. Even during this first century, there were already those who were perverting the gospel. The third chapter of 2 Peter has long been a chapter of information and interest to all Christians because it tells us plainly, even with words of warning, about the end, the destruction of this old physical world, of the heavens and the earth, and that all are therein. Giving us clear warning, giving us clear understanding that it is neither the intention of God nor His purpose that He will allow this old world as we know it and its inhabitants to remain here forever. The closing verses that Brother Eva has so ably read in your hearing has to do with a further final admonition. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And while I suggest in your hearing that every one of these verses, that every one of these chapters are worthy of your rereading and consideration, it is the final verse, verse 18 of chapter 3, that becomes the subject of this morning's discussion. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow in grace and in knowledge. And encouragement, certainly. And admonition, we would say the kind of statement that is intended to give direction to every Christian. If we were to ask, when in our lives as the children of God are we to stop this? Are we to stop growing in grace and knowledge? I have that kind of confidence in you that you would simply reply, well, what a very foolish question, Gene. From the very beginning of the Christian's life, through the middle of his life, as mature men and women, or then as aged saints, In every phase, in every consideration of life, whether it be for riches or for poorer, God's people are to consistently, they are to constantly, they are to steadfastly, if you will, day by day, week by week, year by year, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because that knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is able to furnish us for everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Does that ring a bell with you? Well, it should, because in the opening of 2 Peter, he says in verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness are available to the people of God through the knowledge of Him that has called us. How do we describe the Bible? How do we describe the Word of God? Well, I don't know about you, but words actually fail me when I want to talk about the riches of God's treasure to be found in the Bible. What are their benefits? What do they do for us? Well, the Bible is both a sword and a shield. It is our companion. It is our guide. It is all that we need. There is no question that an individual can ask about the meaning of life, about the direction of life, about what life consists of, that we do not readily say, well, God's answer tells us everything. While the world itself ponders on where did the world come from? Where did mankind come from? The children of God have such wonderful peace and confidence when they say, well, I know the answer to that. It is so simple that in the very beginning of God's book to us, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created everything that was on earth. Well, what am I doing here on earth? Oh, the children of God smile, and they say, I know the answer to that. Wise old Solomon, about in the middle there, said somewhere, this is the fear of God. Keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. Well, that's everything. That's everything. This, some of the translations say about that closing verse of Ecclesiastes, for this is the all of man. It's what it's all about. Well, and while the world out there is in such total darkness and despair, what is going to happen to me? What will happen when my poor old body grows aged and decays? What's going to happen? What will happen to me when I die? And God's people, really, they just smile and they say, God tells me the angels are going to come and they're going to carry me away to Abram's bosom. Oh, I could enthuse. I could indeed speak long and slowly about all of the wonders of God's Word. But I hope, I trust, I plan to have what I believe is a little more practical lesson this morning. And it can all be summed up in one statement or question. How can you and I increase our Bible knowledge? How can we do that? I know that I am speaking to a friendly audience. I believe that I am speaking to an audience where every one of you are in agreement in your purpose in saying, I want to know more about this wonderful treasury of the Bible. How do we go about it? Well, to an individual who is unacquainted with the Bible, I think I would make a primary suggestion, a recommendation to them, and that is, you know, you're never ever going to obtain more knowledge of the Bible unless you make it an absolute priority in your life. Is the Bible that to you? Oh, you know, man seeks all kinds of knowledge and information. Our universities, our institutions of learning are all geared in that direction to give us knowledge, to give us information. And how much of our income, how many of our years do we spend in obtaining that kind of knowledge? The youngster looks at it and he says, you mean 12 whole years that I've got to go to school? And of course, wise parents will just say, son or daughter, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. 12 years of public school, but then to be followed by what? Well, higher learning, and on and on and on it goes. People who make that kind of learning a priority in their lives reach incredible degrees of knowledge and even of wisdom. But how about the knowledge of God's Word? I suggest to you that same kind of diligence that you are to practice in gaining material knowledge is the same kind of diligence that you must have in order to learn the knowledge of God's Word. Paul says it best to Timothy when in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he says, be diligent. You know what that means. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, if someone were to say to me, in order to obtain that knowledge of God's Word, is that going to involve work? I would say, oh, yes, indeed. If you're going to be the kind of knowledgeable student that God would want you to be, you're going to have to work at it diligently. It's going to have to become that top priority in your life. Desire to know more. If you do not desire to know, you certainly will never know. And that has to be followed by make time for study. Oh, this is a whole lesson within itself, but I promise you I won't spend the whole time in talking about this. Make time for yourself. So I have to challenge you right now and ask you, are you doing that? Do you make time every day to study the Bible? Now, I think I know the stock reply. People say, Brother Tope, you're not really dealing with reality, are you? Don't you know how busy my day is? And I answer, yes, I do know how busy your day is. But if you continue to fill up your day with your business, with all of your family affairs, with all of the cares of this world, you never will obtain the knowledge of God's Word. What do you have to do? You have to find time. You have to find time. How can we do that? How can we do that? Well, I might recommend that you set your alarm clock 15 minutes or 30 minutes early. There's no better time for you to study the Bible than in the quiet of the morning, before the family is aroused, before you have to get up and make any household preparations or preparations for going about your day. Oh, have you thought about how just 15 minutes of the morning could benefit you in obtaining knowledge of God's Word? Well, but somebody says, no, now that morning time won't suit me. All right, how about of the evening? How about of the evening when you come home? What do you do of the evening? You may be like so many people, when you come in of the evening, you say, I just want to relax, so I'm going to turn on the evening news. Now, I've got news for you. You just made a bad mistake. I heard a sermon this past week in Chester where the preacher was warning us about violence. My friends, you do not have to watch some make-believe show in order to hear and to think about violence. May I suggest to you that you tune in Channel 6 or Channel 8 or Channel 12 on your satellite television, and I'll tell you the evening news from 4 o'clock onwards is chock-a-block full of violence. You say, I've got to keep up with the news. Well, maybe so. But I'll tell you, if all you fill your mind and heart with after your busy, tiring day is that, you're the loser. You're the loser. Instead of that half hour or whatever it may be of watching television, if you really want to relax, if you really want to hear something that is going to lift you up, may I recommend to you when you come in from work that you have a place where you can go to just pick up your Bible. And where you left off your reading yesterday, you take it up right there. Make time. Make time. Do you go on vacation? Oh, you said that's the time to leave everything at home. No, that's the time to take your Bible. That's the time when you can sit down, not for 15 minutes, an hour or 2 hours, morning and evening and in the midday, if you so want, to study. There's a third element that I have not yet mentioned about making Bible knowledge a priority, and that is your attitude. What is to be the attitude that will cause one to want to know more and more of God's Word? If you look at the first Psalm, it talks about the blessed man. And in the second verse, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That one little word, delight. If you really want to gain the knowledge of God's Word, may I suggest that you look at it not from the standpoint of some kind of terrible job, but that you say, there is delight. I want to know more. All right, it's time to move on and to talk about how to get acquainted with the Bible. Now, I have to tell you, as I make these points, that a good part of them are rules that I've made up myself. And so I would recommend to you that you make up some of your own rules that will possibly help you even more in your study of the Bible. What's the first thing for you to do? Get a Bible. But hey, I keep telling folks in this congregation, get a good Bible. Oh, I'm not talking about this in this case, about the appearance of the Bible, or be sure it's genuine leather. I like genuine leather because they'll last 20 or 30 years. So I like that aspect of it. Get a Bible that will have Bible references. It can be center column. It can be side column. You're going to need those references to help you look up passages in other parts of the Bible. Get an old King James Bible. Get a new King James Bible. If you prefer, it's going to take the old King James and put it into modern everyday language, and it will do a good job of that. My recommendation for a really good study Bible is the New American Standard Version. I think as far as today, what is available on the market, that would be my top choice as far as study is concerned. What should you forget? Paraphrase Bibles. If you want to check a Bible, you look at Acts, the 20th chapter. And if in verse 7 it says they came together on Saturday night for the fellowship meal, would you please throw that thing away? Don't buy that one. Any paraphrased Bible that acts as a commentary is not the one that you should rely on. Now, if you're fortunate enough to have a lot of different versions, that's fine. You can check all of them. But as far as a good Bible, you want to have one that is a reliable translation that you will be able to read and to understand. What next? Start with the easy parts. Start with the milk and not the bones. You mamas, whenever you get ready to start feeding that infant, and they're, nowadays 3-6 months old, and so you start buying the food in the jars. All right, what is that? Oh, that's all pureed, isn't it? And I've noticed mamas, because they want to be sure the food is not too hot, and maybe because they're just curious, you go ahead and you take that little spoon and you put it in your mouth to taste it. Sometimes you want to spit it out. And you say, my goodness, is that what I'm feeding this baby? No wonder the baby pushes it away. All right. But the point is this. Exactly what we find the Bible says. Don't start off in Revelation. But you say, Brother Tope, I'm curious about the book of Revelation. All right, you keep on being curious. How about Daniel? Oh, wonderful book. But that's not where you want to start. This is what Peter himself has to say as newborn babes. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk, the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Are you a first reader of the Bible? Start with the Gospel of Mark. Now, I think I know what I'm talking about here. Just 16 chapters. Oh, in 2 weeks. If all you do is just read a chapter a day, you're going to be through with that life of Christ. I'm not saying you're through with your study. What I'm saying is in 2 weeks' time, just spending, maybe 15 minutes a day, how easy can you make it? You've already read the life story of Jesus. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. It's going to tell you how to become a Christian. Read the book of Genesis. It's easy to understand. Just start off that way. Take the milk of God's Word before you try to move on to the meat. Now, I have something to suggest that you might really enjoy. Read the parts of the Bible that you like. Do you like the 23rd Psalm? I do. I love that. Read it as often as you want. Do you like Revelation 21 and 22? Well, to make exception to what I said about starting with the book of Revelation, read Revelation 21 and 22 and all of the beauties of heaven itself as they're described there for you. Do you like to read a book at the end of the day that will serve to calm you, to give you peace? Read all of the Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. You can't do better than that at the close of your troubled day. A suggestion you might not like. Read the parts of the Bible that hit you right between the eyes. Read the parts of the Bible you don't like. I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll help to get you straightened out just about as soon as anything. Do you have a temper? Do you lose your temper quickly? Boy, I tell you, you read Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh. And there's your reading along. You're going to read about something of outbursts of temper. Some of the translations will just say anger. Anger. Do you curse? Is that a part of your life? Would you like to stop it? You read what Jesus has to say about cursing and making oaths, and see who it is in the Bible that cursed and swore. And I'll guarantee you, that will help you to get over that sin. Whether it's the drinking of liquor, smoking, or whatever it may be, you read the parts of the Bible that will talk about your body as being the temple of God and of the Holy Spirit, and it'll help you as much as anything. Read the parts of the Bible you like. Read the parts of the Bible you don't like. Don't just read. Look up words. look upwards. Now, those of us who never had a lot of secular education, this is a little bit harder for us because there's lots of words that are used in the Bible that we're not familiar with. What can you do with those words? Well, just have a Webster's Dictionary. That'll work fine. And just like in your secular reading, as you come across something you don't understand, look that word up. But you know there are some words that are unique. There are some words that begin, that just find their meaning in the Bible. If you want to look up the meaning of baptism, don't look in Webster's Dictionary, because he's going to include christening in there, and christening is not Bible baptism. So, get you a Vines New Testament dictionary, and that will tell you the meaning of that word, baptism. But you may say, I want to study what the Bible has to say about faith, or what it has to say about giving, or what it has to say about the church. And so you say, I want to find out everything about those subjects. And in order to do that, you may need to get you a book that's called a concordance, that is going to have every place in the Bible where that word faith or baptism or giving is to be found. And by the time you're through with your study, you say, oh boy, that's really increased my knowledge of the Bible. I was talking with a mature Christian the other day, an individual that I have a lot of confidence in. And this individual, when they began their life as a Christian, they didn't have any of those aids that I've talked to you about. They did not have a Vines New Testament dictionary or an exhaustive concordance or any of those things. They just started off as a Christian. I said, how did you learn? They said, when I wanted to study the Bible and check on something, I just had to look all through it in order to find what was said about this subject. And then they said, I found one thing that really helped me. He said, I began to get workbooks, in particular on different books of the Bible. And those workbooks had places where you had to fill in the questions that were asked. And then that way, I began to learn about the different books of the Bible. What can you do? Well, yes, obtain workbooks, Bible tracts. You know, you can go to the local religious bookstore and get a book that is called a quiz book. And it's going to have all kinds of things. How old was Methuselah? Well, you may want to find out, and that may not be the burning question to you. But as you read those quizzes, and parents, this is a good Bible study for your children. At our house, when the children came together for Bible study, we not only read portions of the Bible, but we also had a Bible quiz book. And the winner always felt good. Boy, if you can beat your brothers and sisters, why, hey, how about that? All right. Ask questions. I'll guarantee you, as you study the Bible, you're going to have a lot of questions. Go to some Christian, maybe a member in your family. Ask them some questions. What does this mean? What does the Bible teach about that? Attend Bible classes. How many times have I said that in sermons and at other times? You know, I don't know why it is, but if you were to ask a Christian, if you have to miss a service, which one would it be? The person says, that's easy, a Bible class. Why? Why? Why were you not here at 9:30 this morning instead of 10:30? Oh, we had some excellent Bible classes. There were so many things that we learned in the adult class this morning. Despite the teacher, we still learned a lot. And isn't that wonderful when you can attend a Bible class and you hear people ask questions and you hear learned answers that are given? Use a notebook. Are you studying the book of Genesis? There's 50 chapters. Chances are you won't remember everything, but you're sure going to remember a whole lot more whenever you come to Genesis 18 and you've written down the visit of the angels to Abraham. The birth of Isaac announced. How wonderful. Write it down. Now, what are you going to do with all of that Bible knowledge that you have obtained? Use it. Use it. This is the bottom line to our study. Put it into your life. James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then teach others. This very same mature Christian that I talked to the other day about that said, I learned more, I grew more when I began to teach a class. Now, there's a challenge for you. We don't want people to teach classes that don't know how to teach, that don't know the Word of God. But I'll guarantee you, if you want to learn, volunteer. You say, well, if I just teach a kiddies class, will it teach you anything? Oh, you'll probably learn more teaching the children's classes than you will teaching the adults. I admire these ladies who teach the children's class. Teach a class. Teach your loved ones the gospel. You wives who are Christians, but your husband is not. Teach him the gospel, patiently, lovingly, pointing out God's word. Maybe that will be the very thing that will cause his salvation. That's what God wants you to do. To you husbands who have a wife that for some reason or another has not yet obeyed the gospel, in your love and care for her, teach her the gospel. Whether it's a member of your family, whether it's a relative, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's people you work with, you say, but Brother Tope, I don't know everything. Teach them what you do know, and then go on to learn more. When should you start? Well, if I could, I would recommend that all of you, when you go home, if you haven't studied your Bible yet today, start right today. But if you don't do it then, start this week. Save yourself and others. Paul's admonition to Timothy says it like this. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save yourself and those that hear you. And that's the truth. Do you already know enough this morning to know that you're lost in sin? Do you know enough this morning to know that in order for God to forgive you, you have to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God before hearers? That you must turn from your sins in repentance? That you must be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin? Jesus says so. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. If you'd like to do that, we'd like to help you. But what if you're one of God's people that have stopped studying and you've stopped growing and you've let something somewhere along the line come between you and your service to God? You need to come back to Him.